Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Hard to believe another week has flown past. Sarah, are you well?
I am well. I'm all the better for seeing that Jacob Zuma has gone to jail.
Aha, funny you should mention that. So that is going to be the subject for the next 5 minutes. Did we dodge a bullet, Sarah?
I know this may sound a little disappointing, but I'm not sure if we did, because Zuma, as DAMP James Lorimer said, he actually has a habit of sort of turning away from the brink. And I think he's canny enough not to be responsible for a set of circumstances that could be disastrous or could result in violence. He'll take it up to a point. There's a lot of theater. But I think even with this one, I think part of the problem was it came out of the blue. It wasn't part of his legal strategy. His legal strategy has always revolved around the court cases we know about. And this essentially regulatory issue that came from the Zondo Commission wasn't in his plans. So I think he orchestrated and was part of the theater that went on around him. And then literally at the last minute, he decided that, you know, he wasn't going to be responsible for anything that could come afterwards.
Find a couple of interesting issues. The first one is that this is just an hors d'oeuvre. I mean, we haven't got to the main course yet. This is just a sideshow. As you say, we haven't dealt with the real issues, the corruption charges, the major things that he still has to defend. Why he went down on a technicality, I just don't understand what he was thinking. I don't know how he thought this could have ended differently.
Well, I think the problem is that this was so, from the left side, if I can put it that way. It wasn't, as I said, wasn't part of the script. I mean, he's been able to go up every step of the legal ladder and use that on a range of issues, but all linked to corruption charges, etc. And so there's a pattern and a way of doing things that would come very sort of comfortably to him now. And this was just so unexpected that I'm not sure if he either got poor advice or whether he just reacted to it in a way of saying, you know, this is not part of the script. This is absolute nonsense. How can they treat me like this? I will ride it out. And then he discovered that sort of 5 minutes to midnight, literally, that, he couldn't ride it out. The ANC had not come to his rescue, as they dare not if they didn't want there to be sort of chaos with regard to the status of the legal system.
So I found that the incredible part. I actually thought the ANC played this one really, really well. You had Becky Cele yesterday saying, I'm not going to jail for him. There does constitutionalism won the day. I mean, even if they let him out in 2 weeks' time, which will probably be the acceptable solution to this crisis, because I can't see him staying there for any length of time. But, I mean, they stood by their constitution. They come out of this really rather well, don't they?
Well, you see, I tend to be a little bit suspicious of the ANC, and the reason being is that I think they weighed up very carefully as to who had to be or what had to be sacrificed in the circumstances. And I mean, somewhere even Jessie Duarte, who otherwise sort of said acceptable things, she said, "We hope that former President Zuma is successful in his bid next week." And I thought, okay, that's where they really, that's perhaps where they really are, is they're hoping that the whole decision will be rescinded and it'll put him back in the pound seat. He is the sort of figurehead of a faction of the ANC. I think they played it right, but I don't think it'll give them a great deal of kudos in the sense that there wasn't really a choice. And then also there were bound to be quite a few within the ANC hierarchy who would have been pleased to see him end up behind bars.
What's really interesting, and we didn't, I'm sorry for the red crossing, so we are going to leave it pretty shortly, but the third message that's coming to me this afternoon, I just want to give you an example. This last one from Rene Ackerman in Israel says, is he really in jail? How do you know? Have you seen him in orange? That Sara, is the third message of people just not believing. Somebody said he's in a hotel in Umhlanga. People do not believe that he is in jail. Yes. That's the level of disbelief.
Well, I think there's a sort of prior step, because he's been put into isolation for 2 weeks, and we're presuming, you know, favorably that it's because of COVID. And as you say, he might actually be out for a whole lot of reasons by the end of 2 weeks. But the problem, of course, is going to be that no one, I think, is easily going to put Jacob Zuma's face on a WhatsApp or Instagram. I think, you know, we're going to have to assume he is, because I don't think they're going to easily allow him to be photographed and the photograph to appear. So we really have to take it on trust, which is a tricky thing. But, you know, it's the thought that counts.
And a suspension of, a temporary suspension of somebody like Carl Niehaus, who, by the way, I went and Googled a bit about him yesterday because I thought, who is this man and what is his psychology? Wow, has he got an interesting career record. I mean, it involves fraud and all sorts of strange things.
And really strange fraud at that. Let me put it this way. When I was an article clerk back in the day, I worked in town, and lowlifes had to park behind the magistrate's court, mm-hmm. And then we had to walk to our offices. And it was in one of the rubbish bins at the magistrate's court that he planted a bomb. So I thought that he was possibly dangerous, but as I get older, not so much. I mean, he is really out there.
The psychology of the man fascinates me. That we will leave for another day. Sara Ghan of the Institute of Race Relations, as always, thank you for your input this afternoon.
Pleasure.